From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Last week, Time magazine lobbed a big grenade into the endless good parenting debate with a cover story showing a young model breastfeeding her nearly four-year-old son. "Are you mom enough?" ran the headline. "To fully, deeply, unstintingly attach to your child, to wear the child, co-sleep with it, breastfeed that child for as long as it likes." This hour On Point, we talk with the big guru of attachment parenting about how much is enough. You can join the conversation. What's the expectation today of how you ought to be parenting? Is it just right? Too much? Could that be you on the cover of Time? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me in a moment, attachment parenting icon, Dr. Bill Sears. But first, we turn to the author of that cover story. Kate Pickard is a staff writer for Time magazine. Her cover story last week was headlined, "Are You Mom Enough? Why Attachment Parenting Drives Some Mothers to Extremes," and how Bill Sears became their guru. She joins us from New York. Kate Pickard, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Wow, you guys got everybody's attention, first of all, with that photograph. What's the feedback you've had, Kate?
We certainly struck a nerve with the cover. We hope with the story as well. We've gotten lots of feedback, some of it negative, some of it, positive as well. We have heard from, both moms, dads, feminists, all kinds of folks. So parenting is kind of one of those topics where everyone really has an opinion. So we're thrilled that people are talking about it.
At first glance, it looks like a model and a stage thing, but this really is a mother, and this really is her nearly four-year-old son standing on the chair with her tank top down, and he's at her breast. But then you look again, and it is both a mother and a model. This, Jamie Grummet, she's a model and a mom.
I spoke to Jamie Lynn Grummet, how do you pronounce
Grummet,
her name, who's on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
She's, certainly an outlier. We have a sidebar inside the magazine about how unusual extended breastfeeding is. However, she's very much a part of the attachment parenting movement. She's read all of the books written by Dr. Bill Sears, who's the subject of the profile that's inside the magazine. So she's very into him, although, of course, we acknowledge that this is a really, rare thing.
And we'll talk to him in just a few minutes, but not entirely rare. And they're both she, mother and child, staring straight at the camera. She sort of yoga fit. It's kind of saucy and motherly all at once. I think maybe it's the model piece of it, that kind of, she knows just how to, stand, that makes you wonder what's going on. It's not exactly nurturing, often with just mother and child. I got a little tape of her, Kate. This is on Friday, NBC's Today Show. The model and mom on the Time magazine cover, Jamie Grummet, said that the attachment parenting community has had mixed reactions to her photo.
I understand some of the breastfeeding advocates are actually upset about this.
Are they? Why?
Because I feel like they don't show the nurturing side to attachment parenting, which is, more, this isn't how we breastfeed at home, It's more of a cradling, nurturing situation.
I guess not the way you do it at home, but on the cover of Time magazine. Kate Pickard's with us from Time. It's become a kind of cultural icon already. Saturday Night Live had its fun with Seth Meyers, his weekend update host, asking, "Really?
Really, Time magazine? This is the image you went with for Mother's Day? Look, I have nothing against breastfeeding, but there are more appropriate places to breastfeed your kid than the cover of Time magazine. For example, page 3 of Time magazine, or, not in a magazine at all. I mean, really."
And Bill Maher, Friday night on his show Real Time, had his way.
"Seriously, the print media has to die more gracefully. And by the way, here's a tip that your child might be too old to breastfeed when, after he finishes, he lights up a cigarette."
Okay, it's not Norman Rockwell, though. Interestingly, it looks like some kind of hipster twist on that. Kate, you looked at the movement that this was meant to draw our attention to. How big is it? How deep is it? How central is it to American parenting now, attachment parenting?
It's impossible to gauge exactly how many people would label themselves attachment parents across America. But we can, we can look at the popularity of the baby book, which is the book that Dr. William Sears wrote 20 years ago that's really responsible for popularizing the movement. The baby book has sold more than 1.5 million copies. It's been translated into nearly 20 languages. And in addition to, people who would call themselves attachment parents, I write in the piece that, the movement has kind of shifted mainstream American parenting as well. There's aspects of attachment parenting that kind of filtered down to, just sort of what we understand as kind of modern American parenting. parenting. You know, breastfeeding is obviously far more popular now than it was, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. You know, lots of people, you know, do baby wearing, this idea that you carry your kid in a carrier or a sling instead of sticking them in a stroller.
Mm-hmm.
And as I write in the piece, you know, up to 20% of Americans actually do sleep with their babies at some point, which is, you know, kind of basically a new phenomenon. And that's a big part of something that Dr. Sears promotes in his book, The Baby Book.
And apart from the just visceral pleasure of being with the infant, the child, the toddler, what's the point of it?
Well, it's sort of high-contact parenting. I mean, Dr. Sears says that, you know, that mother and baby evolved to be as close to each other as often and as long as possible. And Dr. Sears says that kids that are sort of parented this way end up more independent and secure and adjusted and healthy in the long run. It's really hard to find science to you know, make that point conclusively. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, would argue that kids that are raised in this way, you know, end up, you know, kind of really demanding of their parents and perhaps less independent. So it really varies.
You make a point in the piece and in attendant pieces in Time Magazine on this scientific research front. We'll talk with Dr. Sears himself, but you make a point in your piece to say some of the science that is cited doesn't necessarily prove that this is, that it works.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Dr. Sears would say himself that it's impossible to sort of do definitive, double-blind, randomized trials to test some of this stuff out. I mean, you can't take a mom and assign her to an attachment parenting group or to conventional parenting and then, you know, over 20 years, you know, sort of study how the kids turn out. It just doesn't work that way. So, you know, there's some science there, but it's far from conclusive, and I think that Dr. Sears would probably say the same thing.
What did you find about breastfeeding itself? I mean, I can think back to times when the idea of somebody breastfeeding past 2 years into the third year, toward the fourth year, and you report all those, would have seemed like really outside the mainstream. But you've got women who are definitely going down that road of sort of as long as it takes, as long as the kid likes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, it was unusual for people to sort of be breastfeeding at all. And, you know, I mean, definitely, we've gotten a lot of flack for the cover, of course. But I would say that when I was reporting this story, I had no problem coming across or finding moms who breastfed their toddlers. I think, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 is rare. I mean, and we, as I said, we say that in the issue. But, you know, I lead off the story with a mom from suburban Denver who breastfeeds her 2-year-old as well as her newborn at the same time. So this is a part of the attachment parenting movement, as unusual as it might seem to some people.
And talk for just a minute, Kate, about the effort that goes into attachment parenting. I mean, the first woman that you talk with in the story, this is Joanne Beauregard. She especially, but also and her husband, I mean, they put an enormous amount of work. I mean, of course, parenting, it is a lot of work, but it's really a hill to climb.
Yeah, I mean, I think attachment parenting is very demanding, in particular on mothers, which is a point I make in the piece.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of moms that are into attachment parenting stay home. Some do work, of course. But, you know, a lot of women and feminists in particular, there have been a couple of books written about this, would say that attachment parenting is, you know, impossible for anyone who wants to work outside the home just because it's so exhausting to sort of breastfeed on demand and, you know, kind of be up several times throughout the night breastfeeding your kid and, you know, certainly carrying your kid around in a sling is a difficult thing to do, you know, when you're working. So there's a lot that sort of doesn't match up between, you know, attachment parenting and being a working mom. For some folks, I did talk to some moms who are, you know, career women who felt like, you know, an intense closeness with their baby through the attachment parenting model allowed them to reconnect with their kid when they got home.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it really depends on the family, the experience, and sort of how you take the advice to heart or whether you kind of, you know, can moderate it and be flexible.
What's your sense, Kate, after having written this up, on what is and has been pushing families, parents, women to this kind of parenting? What is it in the air these days that's driving people in this direction?
That's a really excellent question. I mean, I think that part of what resonates with Dr. Sears' philosophy in his writing is he writes a lot about how this is the natural way to parent. This is, you know, what you would do if you were just following your instincts. He says, you know, if you were on a deserted island with your baby and you had no mother-in-law and no pediatrician and no baby, you know, training experts to tell you what to do, this is how you would sort of naturally do it. And I think that's, you know, that's this idea of, you know, sort of natural, you know, way of doing anything is something that, you know, is really a big part of our culture now. And I think people are sort of drawn to things that, you know, maybe instinctual.
You also sort of point out that even people who may not think that they're doing this has kind of become part of the zeitgeist these days, that people are influenced by this trend, whether or not they're explicitly signing up for attachment parenting as a kind of program.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, those, you know, some of those statistics that I cited at the beginning, I mean, up to 75% of moms, new moms, you know, at least start or try to breastfeed at the beginning. And of course, you know, breastfeeding isn't, you know, specific to attachment parenting. But I think, you know, sort of ideas like this in books that are as popular as the baby book have a way of kind of filtering, you know, out into the culture. I mean, not everyone buys, you know, the parenting book that's for them when they have a kid. I mean, people talk to their friends, they talk to their relatives about what they're doing. And so this is, you know, there's a lot of word of mouth in terms of, you know, how to parent, especially for new parents who, you know, kind of are trying to figure out their way. So I think I argue in the piece, and I think it's true that the ideas have filtered out to people who maybe have never even heard of attachment parenting or Dr. Bill Sears.
We've just got half a minute, Kate. You probably, I don't know if you wrote the headline, but what is the headline supposed to mean? Are you mom enough?
Well, I should point out that the headline inside the magazine is The Man Who Changed Motherhood, which is perhaps, you know, closer to the profile that the story is. However, I would say that the cover line, Are You Mom Enough, is not really meant to imply that you're not mom enough if you don't breastfeed your three-year-old. I think we're trying to get at sort of this question that every parent asks themselves on a daily basis, you know, how am I doing? Am I doing right by my kids? So I think that's a debate that exists within every parent.
Kate Pickard with Time Magazine, lead writer on Time's story this week. Out, the big headline on the front, Are You Mom Enough? Kate, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about attachment parenting. Time magazine has put it front and center with a provocative cover. Are You Mom Enough? Reads the headline, and there's a breastfeeding nearly four-year-old on the cover. It is definitely out there. Here's a little interview from March 5th with Juju Chang of ABC's Nightline, talking with television actress and neuroscientist Mayim Bialik, who describes her conversion to attachment parenting.
I'm breastfeeding a three-year-old. He's actually 3 and a half. I'm meeting the needs of a child who's almost done being a baby, but he's not done. I know it's unusual, but like I said, when you surround yourself with other women who are intelligent, educated, loving, have incredible children who they nursed well past 3 and a half, I can see that I don't get to say what's right for someone else.
Let's go right to the source. Joining us now from Irvine, California is Dr. Bill Sears. There are a lot of things you could call him. The modern era's answer to Dr. Spock, the guru of the attachment parenting movement. He's author of more than 30 books on childcare, some of which likely ended up on your nightstand when your children were young. Books like The Baby Sleep Book, The Baby Book, and not least, The Attachment Parenting Book, A Common Sense Guide to Understanding and Nurturing Your Baby. He's a practicing pediatrician and the father of 8 children. Dr. Bill Sears, thank you very much for being with us.
Hello, Tom. It's good to be with you.
You've been at this for a long time. How are you enjoying, or otherwise, your Time magazine turn in the sun?
Well, I'm sort of enjoying it a lot. You know, Kate, the writer,
yes,
of all this, really did a diligent job. She literally lived with us for a few days here in California.
Yeah.
And did, I think, a very balanced writing in a very difficult subject, the subject of parenting. And one thing, Tom, is, mm-hmm, I've been doing this for 40 years,
mm-hmm,
40 years of a mother and father and baby watcher. And the style of attachment parenting, it's not extreme. It's not new. It's the oldest parenting style in the world. And we have evolved in watching this. And when I started practice, I remember somebody saying to Martha one time, "You're so lucky to have married a pediatrician." And she said to that person, "Well, he only knows about sick babies." And that was true. I had to learn all this.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did in my practice is I became a mother and baby watcher. And I observed babies and children who I liked. And what did these parents do? And that's how I came up with these baby Bs, the 7 baby Bs of attachment parenting: birth bonding, breastfeeding, baby wearing, bedding close to baby, belief in baby's cries, beware of baby trainers, those let them cry it out crowd, and then finally we added a new one, balance. knowing when to give to your baby and when to give to yourself. And I know Kate mentioned a lot of that in her article, the question of balance.
I want to ask you about several of those. But first of all, just you say it's not extreme. Fine. But it's not what a lot of American mothers were doing for a lot of years. What's the turn that you're trying to encourage people to take here from what to what?
Yes. The turn is, the big word is investment. I had one time a mom said, how do I get my husband involved? I said, what's his profession? He's an investment banker. Well, tell him that this is one of the best investments you'll ever make into the future of your child. This is an investment. And the turn toward attachment parenting is parents are sitting down and saying, okay, I have an opportunity, those early years, to make an investment in my child that'll pay lifelong dividends.
But I'm sure parents have thought they were making an investment for forever, even when they weren't doing it sort of your way. What's the special investment? How's it different from the investment that was common in 1969 or 79?
The difference is that these 7 B's of attachment parenting, Tom, they're tools, not rules. And what they do, they turn out kids who care. They turn out smarter, happier, healthier kids. And for example, the World Health Organization recommends, and I quote, for optimal health, breastfeed your child for 2 years and beyond. So the American Academy of Pediatrics has upped their duration to at least 1 year. So the whole, I call it trend, but the reason is today's parents are more savvy, they're more educated. And they'll come into my office and they'll open, when I do prenatal counseling, they'll say, doctor, this is a well-researched baby. We've looked into parenting styles. We've come up with attachment parenting. And I've had two doctors come in my office who just, and the mom doctor and the dad doctor say, we've researched parenting styles. And we want to breastfeed our baby as long as we can.
So a couple of years you'd like to see at least. Okay, that's different than what a lot of moms did not so long ago.
It is different in America.
What about baby wearing? What does that mean exactly?
Sure. Baby wearing means carrying your baby in a sling. And this is the oldest parenting style in the world. And when I was researching parenting styles, I went to international parenting conferences, and I saw mothers just, I called it baby wearing. That was a term I came up with. And they would just wrap their babies in a sling type carrier, and they'd naturally wear their babies. Most of the day, they'd put the baby down when the baby wanted to get down. It was so easy for them. The baby never cried.
I've seen it in many countries. Indonesia, they've got their slindong. Sure. China, many on the back. Indonesia, kind of on the hip with that sling. But American women, I mean, there's been snugglies around for a long time. But you're not talking about just convenience when you're going out for to do some errands and need to take the baby along. You're talking about deliberately as a way of increasing intimacy.
As a way of increasing intimacy, exactly, Tom. But it's not an extreme. It's not an all or nothing. You don't have to wear your baby 24/7. You take the 7 baby B's, you do what you can with the resources you can, and that's all your baby will ever expect.
Sleeping with your baby. Now, there's been a lot of controversy around this and people saying, that's dangerous. You should not do that.
And you know what I say to moms? I say, put yourself behind the eyes of your baby. When figuring out where should my baby sleep, put yourself behind the eyes of your baby and say, if I were my baby, where would I want to sleep? In a dark, quiet room alone, in a crib, behind bars, or nestled close to the favorite person in the world, inches away from my favorite cuisine? The answer is obvious. The baby wants to be close to mom at night.
What about the risks that go along with that? You've got plenty of institutions saying, don't do that. You're going to roll over and hurt that child.
And, you know, Tom, millions and millions of moms and babies every night go to sleep side by side and they wake up just fine. But for many parents, they prefer what's called a co-sleeper. This is a bedside bassinet that attaches safely and securely right close to your bed. And that's the arrangement that's probably safest for many parents.
What are you saying, Dr. Sears, is the difference then? And I know there's all kinds of individual cases here, and there's not one rule, but broad stroke between the child who's, who grows up behind bars in the crib, you know, on the bottle, sort of a little more distant style of some years ago, and the style you're proposing today. What's the difference you're suggesting families would like to see in the adult, grown-up version of that baby?
Yes, and that term, you mentioned the magic word difference. What is different about these children? And that's where my 40 years of observation of these kids in the office. First of all, the biggest quality I've noticed is that of empathy. These are kids who care. These are compassionate kids. I've never yet seen a school bully who's been attachment parented. You watch them on the playground, even at 2 or 3 years of age. One child falls, and they come over, and they say, "Can I help you? You okay?" You know, there's this empathy, and that's a quality that's missing in all these headlines of kids who are school bullies and who get in trouble. The quality of compassion and empathy. These are kids who care.
That suggests that there's an absence in kids not raised this way. You're almost suggesting a pathology.
Well, in a way, you know, kids are resilient. You know, I look back at my childhood, and as Kate mentioned in the article, I thought my childhood sucked as a
your
child.
Your father,
you
left know, very early on. And your wife, Martha, dad, who's a co-author with you very often, she also had a very tough early
childhood. Exactly. We both had a tough childhood. My dad took off. My single mom worked long hours. But when I look back, you know, I learned a work ethic, and my mother did the best she could. I had a single mom a few months ago tell me, I asked her why she practiced attachment parenting. She said, "I cannot afford to give my baby all this stuff, but I can afford to give my baby myself." But that summed it all.
We hear it, but you sound pretty empathetic, and you were not raised with attachment parenting.
Yes, maybe I was fortunate. Maybe I would be more connected if I were. But it's simply you increase the chances of how your baby turns out. There's no guarantee. Kids are resilient. They bounce back from all kinds of styles of parenting. What I want to simply do is say to parents, these 7 baby B's, you do as many as you can, as often as you can, as long as you can, and that's all your child will ever expect.
And now it's right out front on the cover of Time magazine with an image that got a lot of people's attention and many people talking. Dr. Bill Sears is the big guru of attachment parenting. He joins us from Irvine, California. Dr. Sears, stand by if you'd be good enough. With us right now as well from St. Louis is Dr. Kelly Ross, pediatrician at St. Louis Children's Hospital, professor of pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, mother of 11-year-old triplets. Kelly Ross, Dr. Ross, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
How do you feel as a mother of 11-year-old triplets and a pediatrician about attachment parenting?
So I think the basic tenets of attachment parenting are excellent. And I when I read this article, I think that Kate did an excellent job of really, as Dr. Sears said, showing a full spectrum of what does it mean and how people are interpreting it. And the new thing that Dr. Sears has added of balance, I think, is the key point here. And then, you know, on many of these things, I completely agree with what Dr. Sears says, but I think that the biggest place where many of us categorically disagree is on bed sharing. In St. Louis alone, the last year that data was available, there were 61 unintentional suffocations in bed, 11 SIDS incidents. Only one of those SIDS incidents was the child safely in an approved sleeping device. The other 10, the child was in bed with the mom. And so I love breastfeeding. I think that when people decide to stop breastfeeding at what age for the child is definitely up to the mom. But having the child physically in bed with the parents, I've seen dead infants. I've had to tell their parents that the child was gone. And I think that's the biggest point where we differ.
What about the bassinet right alongside the bed, even sort of attached to the side?
Right. So the AAP actually just updated all of its guidelines on safe sleep in October of 2011. And those co-sleepers that abut the mom's bed, they couldn't say that they were categorically safe. There were incidents where the baby got caught between where the co-sleeper came mm-hmm. into the bed, an instance where the baby rolled into the bed. But the baby being physically in the mom, if you look at SIDS deaths, they're lowest when the child is in the room with the mom but not in the bed with the mom. So physical close proximity is excellent for breastfeeding, excellent for bonding, and actually a protector for SIDS, but just not physically in bed with the baby.
Can I ask about breastfeeding? I mean, here this Time magazine cover's really got people's attention. You know, here's this the woman's son on the front, and he's at her breast, and, you know, he's almost 4 years old. He's got on camo pants, and, you know, I mean, he's looking out at the camera. This is by no means an infant. 3.5, 4 years, it wasn't so long ago. That would have just seemed absurd, but here it is. What do you say or recommend, Dr. Ross?
Well, I think Time accomplished the goal of getting a reaction. And when I saw it, it was just so provocative. It looked very sexual to me. So I didn't.
That's more because of the mother's posture or stance, I think, than
Absolutely.
Anything else. She's a model, and she's kind of voguing there.
She is. And the child's on a step stool, yeah. And she even says herself, obviously, this isn't how we normally feed.
Right.
So, I mean, they accomplished their goal. I hope for Kate's sake and for theirs that people get past the cover and actually read the content.
But what about that age?
So I think once the child is, everybody says 100% breastfeeding until 1 year of age is best for mom and baby. There's nobody that argues that fact. Some people say up until age 2 is what's best for the child, especially in areas of the world where there's not a safe water supply, there's not a safe food supply. Mm. In those areas of the country, not only is it good for the child, it's the best thing for the child. Those children, many of them wouldn't survive without the breast milk provided by their mother. I think where some of us have an issue, and many child psychologists have an issue, is once they get to be, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, somewhere along that line,
yeah.
At what point is it no longer a healthy relationship, but an unhealthy relationship between the mom and the child? And so, you know, if you look at healthy development in a child, what they're supposed to do as they become more mobile is mom is close and they venture further away and they go away, they come back, they go away, they come back. If they're never allowed to go away, if mom never leaves them,
mm-hmm.
if she's breastfeeding them until they're age 6, then they don't learn that gradual transition away from the mom. And I think, honestly, I think Jamie Gourmet, if you watch her Today mm-hmm. Show interview, the way her child behaves, I think many parents were just aghast at that child. And it's clear that, you know, even at 3, he's had no limits and he runs the show. And that's not good for him because he's going to go off to kindergarten and there will be limits and it'll be a very harsh transition that she hasn't kind of set him up for success in those arenas.
Dr. Sears, what about it? These concerns about too much dependency and too few limits.
Yes, and I agree with a lot of what Dr. Ross says, and that's why there's so many disagreements on the co-sleeping issue. But the child on the Today Show, and I was right next to this poor little boy, he had been awakened 4 hours earlier than his usual awakening time. And that stuff, as Dr. Ross would agree, is when you awaken a child at earlier than they're used to.
Sure,
it's very
knows.
Difficult. Mm-hmm. He's caught off the schedule. But here's a mom. This Jamie was a mom. She has 3 degrees, anthropology, nutrition, theology. This is a very educated mom. And this is what I'm seeing in attachment parenting. These moms are saying, wow, you know, I'm researching parenting. I'm if breastfeeding my baby or child till 3 years of age, the World Health Organization, and if you look, you know what nobody mentions, and Dr. Roth as a pediatrician probably would agree with this, is the milk. Breast milk is a super milk. I mean, there are volumes written on it. Every drop has millions of natural white blood cells. So the longer, if I were a mother breastfeeding, I would say the longer I can give my baby that wonderful white blood, as it's called in many cultures, it's got to be good for the baby.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about attachment parenting. Time magazine has put it front and center with a provocative cover, Are You Mom Enough? And a breastfeeding nearly four-year-old right there on the cover. Dr. Kelly Ross is with us as well from St. Louis Children's Hospital, pediatrician there, a mother of 11-year-old triplets. Let's go right to our listeners. Rosalind is calling from Boston. Rosalind, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm disappointed that I didn't get to speak to the journalist from Time. But I want to say, I don't consider myself an attachment parent or my parenting attachment parenting, but I guess other people looking at it probably would. I am a working mom. I've always worked. I got a PhD while I was raising three small children.
Okay.
And at the same time, I when I listened to Dr. Sears, and I can't say that I researched my children.
Okay.
That's not my style.
Yeah.
But what I will tell you is I have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And I did wear them, and I did co-sleep with them to some degree. And I certainly breastfed them for a long time.
How long?
Well, see, this is the thing. My response is that's none of your business. Because I feel like part of what happened with that Time cover is that people judge each other, and it becomes a competition among mothers. And it becomes about, you know, are you mom enough? And if you look at that picture, and I don't blame the model, but, you know, she's looking at the camera, and it's about her body, and it's about this competitive thing among women. And it's not about, you know, the relationship, but the relationship and the competition among moms and among parents, and not about the relationship between the mom and the child, or the parents and the child, or the family and that new baby. So, yeah, I breast all my children past three. But I will tell you, each and every...
Oh, Rosalind, you're breaking up on us a little bit there. Past three, and how did it work out for you? How did you work and do that, Rosalind?
Well, you're not breastfeeding a three-year-old on the hour. You're not, you know, a three-year-old breastfeeding, you know, if they have a cuddle and a nurse once a day, you know, I heard Dr. Ross, and I thought, yeah, my kids are plenty independent. And what I hear from my preschool teachers, because my kids are in care, I work, is that they are independent. They are secure. And exactly as Dr. Sears says, they lead the class in empathy. They care about the other children. And that's the same for my oldest, my middle, and my youngest.
Rosalind, I appreciate your call. Let me take it to Dr. Sears, if I may. And I'm sorry we missed the Time reporter with you, but and to Kelly Ross. Kelly Ross,
you know, Tom, I want to pick up on what Rosalind said about the teachers. I've heard this probably 50 times in my office where a parent will come in and say, boy, the teacher pulled me aside the other day and said, tell me, what are you doing with your child? He's such a nice boy or she's such a nice girl. Tell me what you were doing with your child. And wow, what a compliment. So I want to just pick up what Rosalind said about teachers notice these children are different.
Kelly Ross, Dr. Ross, speak to that, because you're going to have parents who have raised their kids in all sorts of ways. Some may be, you know, chewing their fingernails right now thinking, oh, no, I haven't raised an empathetic child. Do you see this clear causality, connection between attachment parenting and empathetic children and the reverse in kids raised in a what for a long time was more traditional way?
So, first of all, to address the issue of breastfeeding until age 3 or 4 and that allowing a child to still become independent, I think if people continue to breastfeed for longer periods of time, that alone in and of itself does not make a child independent or dependent.
Okay.
It's when you kind of take all of this to extremes, such that in a couple of the mothers that were quoted in the article, where they never go out on a date night, they never go out with their friends, they are always with their children, mm-hmm. they carry their children constantly. I think those are the children that kind of embodies a parenting style that sometimes keeps kids from venturing out and becoming more independent. It tends to be meeting the mom's needs in many times more often than it's meeting the child's needs.
What do you mean by that? The mothers need to have this intense...
Some mothers need to have their child... they're missing that physical connection. Mm-hmm. They're missing something in them that makes them then turn into a parent that needs to be always 24/7 with their child. Now, that said, and I have some great examples as a mom of triplets, and Dr. Sears, I know, has seen this in his parents. You know, every person is a little bit different. Some people are very touchy, some people aren't. So for me, the best thing that can happen in the day is my three kids pile on top of me and we read together at night. I'm very touchy. But in helping other triplet moms, one of the things that I heard over and over again is, I'm having trouble with my husband because I have kids touch me all day long, and by the end of the day, I don't want anybody else touching me. And so,
back off.
Yeah, back off. Give me some space.
Yeah.
And so I think what we as pediatricians, and especially pediatricians who love parenting and want to help them to be good parents, have to do is to support them in who they are and in getting to that goal. So creating a healthy bond, breastfeeding, spending time together, but doing that in a way that works for their emotional state, that works for their family state, that works for what, unfortunately, sometimes their economics dictate.
Dr. Sears, let me put to you, if I may, one of our listeners is writing online here. Many, many are writing online, but Just Hoping says, this isn't about breastfeeding at all. She writes, let me make this simple. Does Dr. Sears have a baby on his breast all day? Does he stay home and sleep with his babies? I think not, she writes. This is just one more guise to get women to feel guilty if they don't have a baby hanging on one hip all day. What do you say to that, Dr. Sears?
Well, as Dr. Roth put it too, as I agree with her, this is not an extreme. And this is why we added that 7 baby B, balance. And I've seen this in my own family. My wife has said, I don't have time to take a shower. My baby needs me so much. And I put a big sign up on our bathroom mirror. Martha, what our baby needs most is a happy, rested mother. And they need a mom and dad who spend time with one another. So there is some balance that has to be done there. And it's not, it shouldn't be, but the guilt, you know, we all parents feel a bit guilty. We all want to do our best. I never intended to make anyone feel guilty. And that's why I say these are tools. You select the tools, the ones that work for you. You use them as long as you can. And especially with working parents. I mean, but from Boston, I go back 46 years ago. I was a young intern at Boston Children's Hospital who paid us, they paid us virtually nothing. Mm-hmm. Martha was the breadwinner. She made 5 times what I did at Peter Brigham Hospital as a nurse. Jim was born. We have so many kids, I forget their names sometimes. But anyway, Jim was born, and she juggled. I still remember her bringing Jim over for me to hold for a while she worked, and then she'd slip over during a break and breastfeed Jim, and we juggled. You know, women are the greatest multitasker jugglers in the world, and if you convince a mother of the importance of breastfeeding, she will find a way to do it, working or not.
Let me go to Leslie in Arlington, Vermont. Leslie, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
It's interesting because the parenting system, it's being called attachment parenting, but so far the focus has all been on the mother, and maybe it should be called attachment mothering. I haven't heard about the father's role, and we've earned the choice as women to decide how much time we want to spend with our babies. But so far the conversation hasn't been directed on the father's role in his carrying the baby around. He's not the one who's breastfeeding the baby and all of that. But another thing that hasn't been addressed, and specifically with the pro and con issue I've been listening to regarding sleeping with the baby.
Yes.
The issue that was addressed has been the safety issue of whether or not one of the parents is going to roll over and crush the baby.
Right.
So far, nobody has addressed the issue of how this impacts the third party in this marriage, the parent. How does this affect the intimacy of the marriage? How is this a good thing for the marriage and the relationship to have the baby in the bed every night? And also, how does it impact the marriage and the relationship and this so-called parenting, if it's the mother that is constantly with the baby? Isn't the other parent somehow left out of the equation? And
Leslie, the great points, both of them, and I'm so glad you raised them, and we'll come to both. If I may, Dr. Sears, can we come to intimacy first? When you put the child right in the middle of the marriage relationship, even in the bed a lot, maybe all the time, or a great deal of it. What about intimacy, sexuality, and the marriage?
The baby should sleep between mother and a guardrail, if baby does sleep in the bed, not between mom and dad. I don't think that position is safe in many cases. But, you know, Tom, the father, the attachment father, is, first of all, fathers can nurse. See, nursing does not only mean breastfeeding. Fathers can nurse.
What do you mean? They can't breastfeed, as far as I know.
They can't breastfeed, but see, nursing does not mean only breastfeeding. Fathers can nurse. What? And I make a big point.
Bring a bottle, or what do you mean by that?
Well, no, they can take the baby. And I've seen this many times where babies are fussing, and mother hovers around, fumbling daddy and fussy baby, ready to sort of rescue baby from daddy. I say, no, take a walk. Let dad and baby work it out. You'll be surprised what dads and babies can come up with. For example, the neck nestle. Men have a deeper voice. Babies love that low-pitched, deep voice, singing like Old Man River, or go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, my little baby. Go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, my little girl. You know, this is male stuff. This is daddy stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, I love that as a father, but when I look through and read here, it does seem to fall more heavily, and you would describe it, I guess, not as a burden, but on the mom. I think Leslie's picking up on something here that's not just our conversation. It seems kind of intrinsic.
And this is where, see, mothers will burn out if dad does not do his share. Mm. And so dads need to pitch in. Dads need, it's an attachment dad.
Dr. Ross, what about intimacy, sexuality, relationship in this kind of parenting?
Well, I think that as parents, it's a hard road no matter which way you go. And, you know, when I give talks at the prenatal classes that are for the triplets and the quadruplets, I say to the dad, you know, you need to help. And I get all these scowls. And then I say to the mom, and you need to have regular sex. And then the dads love me. So I think that you do need to find, both of you need to find a way to make parenting work. And if mom is doing 100%, then she doesn't have anything left to give to him, and they lose that bond. And so working together, whether, you know, an older child is in the bed or out of the bed, there has to be a way that you get that intimacy. And so, you know, there was a recent study published that said that children that are over age 2, there's no detrimental effects to them being in the bed. Many people said, well, how do you have intimacy? And one way is what Dr. Sears said. Many other couples will say, you know, they leave the room and they go somewhere else and then they come back. Mm-hmm. And so I think you have to figure out a way to do it. And, you know, I'm blessed to work in an institution that comes out with all the data, and then I get to take it and put it into this little nice pearl for parents to understand. And Joan Luby has done all of this research on parenting and showing that it's not just the amount of time that you spend with your kids, but how you interact with them. And so if both parents are healthy and they do positive parenting, they've actually shown through MRI studies that the child's brain is bigger than in institution environments where there isn't positive parenting. So keeping that bond close, keeping a healthy relationship so that you can be your best parent to the children is really, really important.
But does attachment parenting inevitably shift more of the sort of ratio of shared labor of parenting here to the mom, in your view, Dr. Ross?
Well, I think, unfortunately, only moms can breastfeed. And so then oftentimes the dads feel as if, you know, what can I do? And so our job as pediatricians is to tell them what they can do. And so, you know, they can wash the pump equipment if mom's pumping. They can get the baby up and change the diaper. There's lots of great data on kangaroo care where preemie babies in particular, when they're put skin to skin inside of mom or dad's shirt, those babies go home quicker, they grow better, et cetera. Mm. So while dad can't provide the nutrition, he can give the baby the physical comfort that the child needs. He can support all the breastfeeding. And then the other thing he can do is provide some balance. I mean, there's great data that shows that dads parent very differently than moms, and they're not as hovering, and they allow the child more dependence. And so when you put a mom and a dad together in the parenting, the child gets a nice balance.
Let's get Scott in Nashville, if I may. Scott, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think that the article should have been called, Are You Dad Enough? You know, I'm gonna say this as quickly as possible. My wife is a working mom. She breastfed our child for 5 years, and he's still sleeping in the bed with us at 7. And it's very difficult for the marriage. Very difficult. I fed him bottles. You know, she pumped and I fed him bottles during the day and spent all the time with him during the day. But, I mean, I'm so stressed out about it at this point.
How's it working out for your son, it sounds like, Scott?
He's great. I think it is great for the kids. I think he's a beautiful child. Everybody loves him. His teachers love him. All of his classmates shout his name out when he comes into the room.
He's 7 years old and he's still in bed with you. How long does that go?
That's what I've been asking my wife, and then it's just, it doesn't stop. And, you know, I'm getting so frustrated. You know, I'm actually have entertained the idea of moving out to make the point. You know,
Scott, let me get some advice from Dr. Sears while it's valuable for you right here. Dr. Sears, we just got a minute, but speak to that. Scott's about to tear his hair out, it sounds like.
Oh, okay, Scott. And, you know, what you can do is sit down and have a chat with your wife and just say, you've talked to some folks and you've gotten some advice. And what your child needs both is two happy parents. And I'd just tell your wife what you're feeling. These are honest feelings. And nothing matures a man and a marriage like parenting a bunch of kids. And that's what you're going through, Scott. I went through that too. It's a maturation point for we as men. But you know, Scott, it doesn't last. The time will come when you get your wife back. Honestly, the time will very soon come.
7-year-old child in the bed. It must seem like a lot of time already. It's going to be crowded in there. My goodness. That's all we've got time for today, but what an interesting window opened up here. Of course, a lot of people living it right now. Scott living it there, and a lot of the mothers who called us as well. Dr. Kelly Ross at St. Louis Children's Hospital, I want to thank you for your perspective and joining us today. Wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Bill Sears, author of The Baby Book, The Attachment Parenting Book, The Baby Sleep Book. You're the man in this world, and it's great to hear from you today. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Sears.
And thank you, Tom. I enjoyed it.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. Good luck. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.